Dynasty Football Network presents Super Flexible Podcast with your two co-hosts, Tudrick and Swags, and host, Steve Halepka.
What's up, everybody? We are back with another episode of the Super Flexible Podcast. I am your host, Steve Halepka, joined, of course, again tonight by my boys, Tudrick and Swags. What's going on, fellas?
What up?
What's up? About to get me some Andrew Luck shares up in here.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a bit. We'll get to him in a bit.
But yeah, trying to jump the gun.
Just jump in a little bit. So yeah, I'll give you a quick little rundown of what's going on tonight. We'll talk some news and notes. We had the franchise tag deadline this past Monday. Brandon Cooks also got paid, which we'll talk about in a second too. And then we're going to talk about some quarterback rankings, our dynasty quarterback rankings coming up. But first of all, let's talk about where you can find us on Twitter. So I am at The Real Halepka and also at Super Flex Trades. Swags, where can they find you?
I am at DFF underscore swag.
And Tudrick?
I am at FL Tudrick Minimum and at Super Flex Pod.
Awesome. So definitely hit us up on Twitter. We are very active. We will answer your questions, Superflex trade questions, Superflex questions in general. We are all about that Superflex life.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So let's go right into the news. Had some happenings over the last couple days here since we left you guys last. First of all, some franchise tag news. Le'Veon Bell will be playing his second straight season on the Steelers franchise tag. Bell turned down, it appeared to be a 5-year, $70 million deal with about $25 million guaranteed from the Steelers. So, Tudrick, what are you thinking about Lev Bell for this year and then his future?
So, he's kind of talked that he's not going to report to OTAs and maybe not even preseason, but he'll be ready. Do we get a little bit of that lull in the first couple of games like we've seen even from him? You know, last year where he doesn't get off to that same jump? Maybe. But I'm still all in on Lev. I mean, took him in SFB, so I kind of have to be, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But Lev is Lev. I mean, dude's going to rock it, and even more so now, like, they're not going to franchise him again, right? So he's got to ball out, make that money.
That's right. Yeah. So, Swag, any thought, any difference of opinion on that one?
Really similar. I love him if he plays, and I actually understand if he doesn't, except for, like, how it might affect his career, but I think it's ridiculous the guy didn't get a decent contract. I mean, and to us, that's a lot of money. But when you watch what we'll talk about in a minute, Cooks get $80 million and Bell was getting offered $70 million. You know what I mean? So at some point, I think you just pay your players for what they've done.
Doesn't that still make them the highest running back? Like by a decent amount over Devontae Freeman. Like,
yeah.
Who had more receptions last year, though, Cooks or Bell? I mean, career-wise.
Positions. Like, he's making way more than the most at his position already. Like, I get he wants to be paid as both, but that's not what he is. Like,
well, and that's what the franchise tag says, but I mean, at the same time, I don't agree with it. I say pay the guy. I'll take Bell over Cooks on my team any day, and I mean my NFL squad.
They tried to pay him. He wouldn't take it.
Give him $80 million. Yeah.
I think it was a guaranteed thing, man. Like,
yeah,
the guaranteed money was so low for him. I think that's why he kind of turned it down. If maybe half of that contract was guaranteed, I think we have another. I think he'd be locked up as a Steeler for life. But with, you know, more than half of that money as non-guaranteed, and we've seen him have those devastating knee injuries already and stuff like that. Yeah, I think he's. I don't think he's going to be in Pittsburgh next year, to be honest.
Right.
It'll be really intriguing to see what happens this offseason and where he ends up.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, what's he getting on that franchise? $14
million? $14
million, a lot of money. So he's still getting a lot of money compared to what they were offering him guaranteed. Man, somebody was talking about it today. Like, what was the guaranteed on that? Like, 28 or something?
Yeah, total was like 25 or 28. Yeah.
Which is a lot of money, I know. So I'm not trying to be that guy, but still, I'm going to compare him to the NFL, not my life. And
right.
I, with the way he's thinking, I mean, he can get that $14 million and then hopefully get just as good of a contract, if not better, next year with just as much guaranteed still, I would hope. Yep. So I think it was silly just to not give him a little bit more.
Yeah, I think he might be surprised next year when that money comes in. It's not going to be as big as he wants either.
Yeah. I think it might be like a 1 year deal also, like a 1 year, $10 million deal to go play somewhere, be a mercenary.
Yeah, and I'm not going to argue that point, but do you think that he's still, like, when you give him this year's $14 million plus whatever he gets guaranteed next year on top of next year's 1 to 3 year deal, do you think he's still going to do as good as that 25 guaranteed?
No, he'll do better.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's how he's thinking.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. Yeah, I think that's his thought process, that he wants that guaranteed money and do like what Revis did. And we'll talk about him maybe in a second too. But yeah, how just rack up as much dough as you possibly can while you're playing.
I mean, how do you guys feel about the franchise tag in the NFL?
Look, you have to pay the guy, right? You're paying him an average of what, the top five at the position.
Yep.
So you are valuing him on a 1 year basis. I think it's better than the 1 year prove it deals like Alshon had last year. I just think when you're able to franchise a guy for more than 1 year in a row, it just gets to be ridiculous. Like, obviously, you don't want to lock the guy up.
Nope, I actually agree with that wholeheartedly. I think 1 year is fair.
Yep, cool. So The Athletic's Jeff Schultz reports that the Falcons have told Julio Jones that he will not receive a contract this year. So Julio's getting a little pissy. I know he's still working out with Matt Ryan inside of training camp right now. But if Julio holds out into training camp, Swags, how much does this impact your wide receiver rankings if Julio is not showing up to training camp?
A lot, actually. I want that guy at training camp. I mean, even though he's a proven veteran, I mean, he doesn't need the reps, obviously, like somebody like Ridley. But then, I mean, they're already thinking that way. Like, this is the guy they're probably kind of looking at, and the reason they don't want to give him the contract extension. I don't know, man. It worries me just with his health and his – I love Julio, and I would love to buy him low, but his ups and downs and his floor is as low as his ceiling. And that gets rough for me already. So
where do you have Julio right now?
As low as the high as the ceiling is. Where do I have Julio? Man, I'd have to pull him up. Yeah. Pretty high, though. But I would definitely move him down.
He's not going to fall out of your top 10, right? He's still going to be top 10. Okay. So, Two Drink, what do you think right now about Julio? Is he still going to be like a top five guy for you, even if he holds out? What do you think?
Yeah, I can't see moving him down very much. I mean, it would suck as a Julio owner going into, you know, this season or whatever. But, I mean, it's still Julio. Like, I don't care. I don't need to see him really on the field, even in preseason. I just want to know, like, whatever is squashed. Either the deal's there or he understands it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't care about going into week one. We haven't seen him yet. Is he going to be on the field week one? Then we're good. If it ends up being a couple of weeks, man, you hate it, especially with a guy like Julio that is, you know, ends up with these turf toes and hamstrings and stuff like that coming in, maybe not in shape because he's not been with the team, then that would suck. So it'll hurt a little bit for redraft, but Dynasty, it's not going to change me any.
Cool.
I have Julio. Sorry. I have Julio at wide receiver 8 on our Superflex rankings now. So I'm already kind of low on him. That's before the news.
I've got him at 9. So we're in the same boat.
Yep. Yeah. Do you have that up, Steve? So what's your overall?
Overall, I have him 20th, I think. Yeah, right around 20th. Should be.
Yeah, we're pretty similar. I've got him 23.
Yeah. So let's move from someone who's not getting paid to someone who just got paid, and that's Brandon Cooks. We alluded to it a bit earlier. But the Rams signed Brandon Cooks to a 5-year, $80 million extension through the year 2023. It's only $20.5 million guaranteed. But Cooks, I'm sure, is betting on himself that he is going to be the man in L.A. So, Two Drink, I'll start with you this time. With him signing that contract, has that adjusted your rankings at all for Cooks?
Yeah, sure. It's nice to have that security of know it's there. He's with Sean McVay and, you know, the young Jared Goff. Obviously, the Rams saw something in him. Like, he's not even played it down for them yet. We're just talking about, you know, getting him and just seeing in him some preseason camp stuff some OTAs and camp stuff. So, man, I guess they're pretty excited to use him. So if you see that, I feel like I got to bump him up at least a little bit.
No, I totally agree on that one. Go ahead, Swags.
Man, I've been pretty excited about Cooks this whole offseason. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I made a trade to get him just before the news happened. I love it for his future and his security. But it doesn't change my ranks much. Like, I'm excited about him. I have been, and I think it just makes you feel a little bit better, but it doesn't really move him in my rankings.
Okay. So do you have him like far and away the top Rams wide receiver above Kupp and Robert Woods?
I do, especially like for his future. And I think he's going to be the wide receiver one there for sure. That's how I feel. Yeah. The dude's got, 1,000 yards the last 3 years in a row. He's almost got 1,200. He's at like 3,900 over his first 4 years in that freshman year. I mean, he only had 500 yards. I mean, this is always playing with good wide receivers. I mean, he's played with Colton. He played with Jin when Jin had his best year. And then he's played with Michael Thomas and then all the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like it a lot.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'm on board too. I have him right now. He's my number 15 wide receiver in Dynasty. So I like him a lot. He's just below some of those more established guys, but I think he's got some definite monster upside with Sean McVay there for sure.
Yeah, I agree. 500 years. Yep.
So let's 500 years. 500 years worth of money, baby. Getting paid. So let's talk about some running backs now that are trimming some pounds in the offseason. So first we heard about Leonard Fournette slimming down from 240 pounds last year. Now Joe Mixon has said he's dropped 12 pounds in the offseason to be a slim 218 pounds. We've seen some success in the past with this with guys like Le'Veon Bell, who dropped a ton of weight and became just the GOAT. So, to drink, are you on team weight loss? Team RB weight loss?
Man, I'd love to be on team weight loss. I need to jump on that keto team. Right? Something. Yeah. I mean, Mixon wants to be Lev, right? He's already come out and said it, and this is what Lev did after that first year and dropped some weight, and then it turned into Lev that we actually know, not the overweight Michigan State guy that came into the league. So, I mean, I guess it's nice that Mixon wasn't really that guy that was just going to flat run somebody over anyway, so if losing a couple pounds maybe makes them a little bit faster to the edge or a little bit quicker through the hole, I'll take it.
Awesome. Swags, what are you thinking about Mixon?
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
He definitely loves some Mixon.
Yeah, yeah, makes me feel good. Yeah, pretty much everything Two Drinks said. I mean, honestly, I like it a lot.
Okay, cool. I mean, do you have him higher or Leonard Fournette?
I have Fournette a little bit higher still.
Okay. Yeah, both the members of Team RB weight loss this year. So I'm expecting some pretty good things. You know, maybe some extra weight loss for Fournette. Maybe his ankles and feet don't hurt as much as he's rumbling down, knocking over Steelers and stuff like that.
And that's the knock.
But he still looks to destroy people. Like, yeah, weight doesn't help being on those ankles, but he just wants to punish people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mean, I have Fournette just a little. I have Fournette above Mixon too, but Fournette worries me. He has since coming in. I mean, you can't deny the talent, but I've said this before. At 13 games, I think, is all you get out of Fournette about every year on average.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably pretty accurate. And I think in those 13 games, he's still going to score double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. I mean, RB1 easy for those 13 games, weeks,
for sure.
You know,
yeah.
For sure.
Damn, those are important handcuffs, like Yeldon and
Corey Grant.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, who do you think? Is it going to be Yeldon, you think, or do you think it's going to be Corey Grant getting some more love if Fournette misses?
Yeldon's listed as the two, I mean, even coming out of just this offseason camp. Mm-hmm. But you got to understand that they did give Corey Grant a decent amount of money, like $3-4 million. For a third running back, he does play special teams for them a lot. But at the end of the season, man, it was Corey Grant who really stepped up in place of Fournette, and Yeldon kind of just stayed that third down, you know, PPR satellite back. So it's nice to have both.
I think Grant's probably
I'm
the handcuff.
I'm going to stick to Yeldon PPR, but yeah.
And then, but I think Yeldon has that like year long like flex appeal. But I think Grant's probably the guy you want when Fournette's out.
Correct. Yeah.
Totally agree. So here's kind of a funny, not funny story about Ricky Seals-Jones, the Arizona Cardinals
funny.
Tight end.
This is pretty funny.
Yeah, so he was arrested and charged with assault, disorderly conduct, and criminal trespassing in Scottsdale this past weekend. So Ricky Seals-Jones apparently really had to go to the bathroom, really to take a shit. He went to the W Hotel. They kicked him out, went to a sushi restaurant located in the hotel, and again was not allowed to go to the bathroom. So they said it was only available to guests. So apparently because of that, Ricky Seals-Jones shoved the dude as he would try to get past somebody to try to use the bathroom. So my question, Swags, have you ever like knocked somebody out to go to the bathroom?
Have I ever? Not at all. Yeah. No. No.
Okay. Okay. To a drink. Have you ever like pushed somebody in the face to go to the bathroom? Get into a bathroom somewhere?
Yeah, when you gotta go. Is somebody peeing? You gotta go. Like I said, when you gotta go, you gotta go. If you're in my way, I'm sorry. Chances are maybe you're smaller and I didn't even see you. I'm not the shortest guy, so you're gonna have to get out of the way. Sorry. I'm not gonna do it here. Like, sorry, move. I get that it was for a guest, like Ricky Seals-Jones, like throw him a 50 for a couple sushi rolls that you're not even gonna eat and hand it out. Like, I think you could use the restroom at that point. It's 100. I mean, whatever. You got some money. Just saying.
So I guess my real going back to fantasy question is, do we think he gets suspended, Swags? Like a game or two?
Man. Yep. Probably, because it's a felony charge, isn't it?
I think it's a misdemeanor for disorderly conduct. I think so.
Probably.
At least he'll plead it down.
I don't know, dude. Robbie Anderson's still playing this year so far, right?
For now.
For now. But I mean, I think he still plays. It's a bonehead move, and he should have shit himself to seal the deal, but I don't know. You learned.
Yeah. Do you think he gets any suspension here?
Yeah, I gotta feel like Goodell rubs his Superman chest cape and goes ahead and gives this guy at least a game or two. Hey, Robbie's got a couple games too. I mean, it doesn't matter to Goodell what police do. If he doesn't like it and thinks it's bad for the league, which obviously what Robbie did and I mean even Ricky Seals-Jones, I don't think those are on the same level, but
Right. Either
one of them is a good image to appeal to any part of NFL viewership. I mean, kids all looking up to these guys. Like, no, like, you're going to have to get a couple games. He sets such a standard, you know, to give guys games for other stuff, even when something hasn't been, you know, actually committed to them, you know, in a court of law. But he'll take the games.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think he's gone for one or two games. So it kind of sucks because Ricky Seals-Jones was a nice late-round sleeper. At the tight end position, obviously we've seen Sam Bradford just have crazy success with the tight end over the last couple of years. So, it's kind of puts a damper on that party. But I do think maybe halfway through the season, you might be able to pick him up after a couple of good games, and he could be a streaming option for you if you're looking to stream tight ends. But before we get
by
into
low too.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, even in dynasty and stuff like that, like go get him in those tight end flexes or some of those two tight ends or tight end premiums. Like, great buy low right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely feel like giving up someone could take a fourth round rookie pick, like for Ricky Seals-Jones. I think that's entirely possible.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd gladly do that. Yeah, for sure.
I'll let you go now. I won't interrupt you on this.
No, you're good. You're good, man.
That's also not true. So,
Read through it now to pick a spot.
Yep.
You just did it. See? What a jerk.
Before we get to our ranking debate about quarterbacks, if you want to bet on the Open Championship or Major League Baseball, head over to gtbets.eu. Enter our referral code SUPERFLEX at sign up to get started. They're currently offering a 100% match on your first deposit up to $500 and then 50% on your next deposit up to $500. Get out to gtbets.eu with referral code SUPERFLEX to get started wagering in just mere minutes. So now the main event of the evening, we're going to talk quarterback rankings, quarterback dynasty rankings. So we'll break it up into, I guess we can call them mini tiers. We'll do, you know, top fives and top tens, and then from 11 to 20 each. So let's go through our first number 1 through 5. Let's go with Swag first. Count them down, 1 through 5, dynasty quarterback rankings.
I was looking at it, and all of our top five are pretty similar, but I've got Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Cam, then I've got Watson, Carson Wentz. I was going to go on to Goff, but yeah.
That's five, brother. You got five. Yeah, so that's number five. Those are the top five there. Chew drink. Go through yours real quick.
So my top four are the same. Aaron Rodgers, 1. Russell Wilson, 2. Cam Newton, 3. Deshaun Watson, 4. Hey, watch out, Mr. Kirk Cousins at 5. Call me crazy.
Yeah, you're crazy. You told me to call you that.
I did.
Yeah. So
everybody else just did too.
That's right. So why do you have let me ask you, why do you have Kirk at 5? What's your rationale behind moving him to 5? Because I think that's a bit controversial.
Sure.
If you're looking at dynasty rankings.
Sure. I get that. I don't know. The contract that he just got, the massive upgrade in weapons. I'm big on Diggs. Obviously, most people like Thielen more than Diggs. I'll go the other way. Dalvin being there, even coming off the injury. Great defense that's up there in the dome. That offense is going to score a bunch. I'll take the guy doing that for at least the next, 4 years guaranteed? Yes, please.
Okay. So my biggest thing with Kirk Cousins is, and you alluded to it earlier, their defense, man. That Minnesota defense is so damn good. And Mike Zimmer has his butthole so tight when they're playing these games. That I don't think they're going to let him loose. Like, I don't think Kirk Cousins, unless he is just so much more efficient in how he plays the game, will be able to replicate his numbers from the last couple of years. I just don't think the volume.
I think he goes down a bit.
I think he regresses a bit just because the volume's going to decrease. Like, I just don't foresee him throwing the ball nearly 600 times as a Viking. Like, if he gets to that number, that means like Harrison Smith and Anthony Barr both died or something like that. Because their defense is so damn good. They're going to be ahead in so many games. I just feel like it's going to be a Dalvin Cook, Latavius Murray show. And Kirk Cousins, I think, was going to win a ton of games for him. I just don't know how many fantasy points he's going to put up for the Vikings.
I gotcha. And it's maybe a little high, I guess, what you're saying, to play a safe card here. But I think Kirk will be super consistent. Mm. Maybe I don't get the massive weeks coming in there that you're going to get from some of those, guys right above him. But I think he's going to be, very solid, can count on him. He's a set it and forget it, multiple year guy that I don't have to worry about. And I like having that up at the top, knowing that, I can focus on everything else.
Okay.
I get the defense is solid, but the defense is solid and the offense is going to have a lot of opportunity to score. Sure. Murray, I get Dalvin's not going to get all of it and he's coming off the injury. I don't mind a lot of Dalvin. I project that too. I like Dalvin probably more than both of you there. But that doesn't mean it's only going to be on the ground. Lots of dump offs to Dalvin in space. Hmm. Don't forget Rudolph, big target there up the middle.
Man, I got a question for you both. How can you justify having Kirk Cousins above Matthew Stafford?
I don't want to answer for Dudrink, but I mean, Kirk scored more touchdowns the last 3 years than Matthew Stafford. Like, Kirk's been running scores in every single year. He's been scoring more TDs. The efficiency is nowhere near as good. Like, he's going to turn the ball over. We know that. But I think from a purist fantasy perspective, I think Kirk's been a better player.
I don't agree with that.
Really? Let's look at this. I'm going to pull up the stats real quick. Yeah. Dudrink, give me some love on Kirk.
I mean, I know Stafford's got way more 5,000-yard games, 8 months apart, maybe. What's the age difference? I don't know, man. Give me Stafford all day.
No, I mean, it's not like I have Stafford that much far behind. He's only three spots behind him. I like Stafford a lot, too. To me, maybe the slight nod there, at least I want to go look a little bit and see what happens with a new coach. Maybe looking to run the ball a little bit more there. I like all Stafford's weapons too. I don't know. I want the Diggs, the Cook, that much better defense, putting them in a much more position to score on a regular basis.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the stats here. Looks like Stafford. So Stafford over the last 3 years, 32, 24, and 29 touchdowns passing. He's actually got more passing touchdowns, which I'm surprised at than Kirk Cousins. But only 3 total touchdowns on the ground. Kirk Cousins over the last 3 years, 29, 25, and 27 passing touchdowns. And then a combined 13 rushing touchdowns the last 3 years. So those extra scores on the ground are big, man. Like, I know
yeah, I mean, obviously there's not that's not that crazy. I mean, how many more yards does Stafford have?
Passing yards? I would have to do the quick math on this one. They're relatively close. I mean, they're all over 4,000. Actually, in 2016, Kirk Cousins threw for 4,900 yards. I mean, Matt Stafford hasn't thrown for 4,900 yards since 2012. It's been a damn long time.
The year before Cousins.
What was that?
The year before Cousins.
So Cousins was 2016.
Oh, 16. I thought you said 13. My bad.
No, 2016, where Cousins hit that 4,900 yard mark. Stafford in that year threw for 4,300 and 24 TDs.
Kirk's weapons are definitely better, right? I get people saying like, but he had DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, like when they were in their prime. But honestly, when we look back, was it really like he only had Pierre for 1 year, and that was really his like true rookie year, right? After RG3 got hurt, and then Pierre moved on after that, and then he only had DeSean Jackson for one more year after that before he moved on. Jordan Reed, yeah, is an awesome weapon when he's healthy. As much as I like Jordan Reed, you know, the person and you know, playing at Florida and trying to get touchdowns when he's in there like a monster, like he's not always there. Kirk's weapons are way better. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I agree on that. I think Kirk's weapons in Minnesota are superior than Stafford's weapons in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Cousins, did actually outscore, or wait, no. Cousins, Stafford outscored Stafford last year and averaged more weekly. That's just fantasy points though.
Yeah, I mean, I could have seen that.
The Redskins pass catcher you wanted to own last year was who?
I think Jameson Crowder, right? That's about it.
Thought it'd be Doxson. I still kind of do think Doxson can emerge, but I don't know, man.
That's a different story.
You got Cousins in a new offense and Stafford in doing – I mean, he's got a new coach. I don't know, man. You can't sell me.
Who shocked the Lions homer sticking up for Stafford?
I mean, the numbers are there. He's the most hated quarterback in the league for what he does. It's just hype. I get it.
I hate him. He's at 8. I hate him.
Well, then I must despise him. I'm at 13, so we'll talk about that in a second.
I have him at the exact same spot as you do, Swags, at 8.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the Cousins love that threw me off.
It could be.
I got to crack one for you. You're
mine real quick. Aaron Rodgers at 1, Russell Wilson 2. I've actually got Carson Wentz 3.
Gross.
Yeah, I know. It could be kind of gross. Obviously, we're expecting touchdown regression, right? I mean, everyone's expecting that. He's not going to throw 7% of touchdowns. So.
Do you think Carson Wentz starts week 1? Should he?
I think he does. Okay. I don't know if he should, but I think he does. It seems like he's moving fairly well right now. He was doing drills already in minicamp and OTAs. I think he'll be ready for week 1. I think he's got something to prove too this year. Obviously, he had a really good year, but Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, right? So, I mean, wouldn't you, as the quote-unquote starter, want to come out and say, hey, I'm better than this guy. Let me make sure this is my team going forward, not this Nick Foles schmo, you know? Let me get this under my helm again and get prepared for it.
Yeah.
And get ready to go. And then I've got Cam and Deshaun 4 and 5. That may change depending if Wentz has some lingering effects and not running as much. I can definitely see myself flip-flopping him to like 5 or 6. But for now, I've got Wentz there. Yeah.
Dude, I've messed with 3, 4, 5 so much already.
Yeah.
Honestly, like a couple times, you know what I mean? And I agree with you on Wentz. And I'm really not worried for his dynasty value as far as that injury goes, even if he misses week 1. Like, but
yeah, it's more redraft. Yeah. More redraft. I was talking there, I guess, there.
I think the only thing I'm worried about is if he stops running.
Yeah.
Because the extra rushing upside that he has, I don't want to say he's on the level of a Cam Newton, but it helps every single week when you can get 40 rushing yards. Those extra 4 points every week can, I don't want to say they make or break your week, but they make it a much more consistent play week in and week out.
Well, he does so good throwing on the run too. Like, are we going to see him limiting that and, you know, not get those big boom plays from Alshon and Aguilar because of his scrambling, you know, and throwing on the run?
Right.
Like that could take him down a little bit too. So it'll be interesting to see, but you can't knock Wentz for it and not really Watson. I know Watson's happened a few weeks before that, but I mean, it's kind of the same there.
Yeah, and Watson's had a bunch of busted ACLs already. So,
right.
Yeah, we can definitely knock him for that too. And I think that's why I've got him at five. I know a lot of people have him one or two in dynasty quarterback rankings right now. But I think I'm happy that we've all kind of seen the light and he's not one or two for any of us.
I mean, if he doesn't blow out the ACL and goes the whole rest of the year, then sure, I got no problem him being in that top three mix and having discussions any way you want to go. But the second ACL, I know it's the other knee, but still. That's got to give you a little pause. I mean, it's not like we're crazy on him. We all have him at four.
I've got him five.
But you have him five, and
yeah, you two both have him at four.
Yeah.
All right, two drink. Let's go 6 through 10. Start with your boy Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jared Goff at six. I don't get the hate from you, but we can get to that. Then get your boy Carson Wentz. I come through with the massive hate I have at number eight for Matthew Stafford. I'm going to go another
great. I actually like your spot. It's just.
And throw. Obviously you do. And nine, I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes. I know that one's way out there and I can't wait for you guys to attack me on that one. And then 10, Jameis Winston.
I like it. I like it. So let's talk about Goff just because he certainly was. Holy crap. I didn't realize. Swag, you have Goff at six also. Holy shit.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
That's so we can just do this.
You thought you were just picking we'll just on get me. It out so. Of the way.
Yeah, so I might be nuts. All right, so Swag, just go through your top 10. Well, then we'll talk about Goff.
So my 6 through 10, I've got Goff at 7, Winston at – oh, I'm sorry, Goff at 6, Winston at 7, Stafford at 8. So I got Goff above my boy Stafford, and then I've got – Dak at 9 and Mariota at 10.
Okay. So let's talk about Jared Goff real quick because I am nowhere near as high on Jared Goff.
You're not high at all.
Yeah, you've got to go through your top 20 to get to him.
Yeah, I have got the 15. So change my mind. Make me see the error in my ways. Why is Jared Goff a top 6 quarterback in Dynasty?
Swags, you want to jump? I can jump. You got it.
I mean, a lot of the same stuff I just kind of argued for with Stafford, but minus 7 years. And if you're going to tell me that a guy's only going to get 20 points less a year and I can have his value for 7 years, because I do agree with you, Steve, like a lot of like what we are doing with these teams, like does have certain lifespans and we're flipping them around so quick that maybe I don't have Jared Goff for that lifespan, but he's going to hold value longer than a 30-year-old quarterback, even if it's somebody I believe in, which you know what I mean? So to me, it's like a stock market more so than players. And Jared Goff's stocks are going to go up and Stafford's will go down.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Two drink. Go ahead, then I'll rain on your parade.
So Jared Goff at 6 and Kirk Cousins at 5 was really tough for me. My arguments are very similar. Great defense and solid running game. Awesome weapons on the outside. We mentioned earlier Brandon Cook signing, you know, that long deal. Like that's nice to have as that blanket there. I wish they would have given that to Sammy, but that's a different story. I love Cooper Kupp. I think Robert Woods is probably gone after next year just because of the money spent and where they'll have to go in other places. But that'll make way for guys like Josh Reynolds to be that third guy out there. Plus, you got those two tight ends. Like, we're waiting on that Gerald Everett to emerge. Did I mention Gurley was back there? Like, good Lord. Like, those weapons are stupid.
Yeah. No, I agree. He's got some awesome weapons. He's got a great coach. My question is... is this his absolute ceiling? Have we seen the best from Jared Goff? Like, is he ever going to be a 4,500-yard, 30-touchdown guy?
Do we believe Brandon Cooks will be better than Sammy Watkins was in this system last year?
I think he has to be.
Right? Do we get more than what we got out of there? So those numbers get inflated right there just a little bit. I think that defense is – they spent a lot of money on bringing some veteran guys in. You know, super win now. You know, Aaron Donald's just a beast over there. Man,
so those weapons. Yeah, I know. But so my question is, with that great defense, like, he threw the ball only 477 times last year.
Yeah.
He was uber efficient in how well he did. I mean, his yards per attempt were 8 yards per attempt, which is crazy good for it's pretty damn good for the NFL. My biggest thing is, I just don't know. Again, it's a volume game, right? Sure. So if he's not going to throw the ball 500 times, it's going to be really difficult for him to throw 28 touchdowns again. You know, it's a 6% touchdown rate is pretty damn high for the NFL.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we saw Cooper Kupp drop a couple touchdowns last year. Right. And again, like Goff missed Sammy like crazy, like bad misses, and then didn't even target him. So I think that number could at least stay the same. But, I get, maybe he doesn't get to the 500. What's up?
Well, I mean, you made a lot of good points, Steve. Like, and I mean, but even if that is his where he's going to be, I mean,
he's probably there for a few years.
Tell us your 6 through 10, and then stop at number 6.
All right, well, stop. So I'll just say my number 6 real quick. my number six is actually Marcus Mariota. I think he's on the upside. I know someone. I think it was you two drink have him 10. Oh, Swag. Sorry, Swag's got him 10. Obviously, we haven't. Yeah, just outside your 10. So we'll get to it in a second. For me, Mariota is everything I want in a quarterback. He's efficient, even though last year he's coming off a very down year. It looks like he played banged up. I think he's only going to get better in this offense. They've added more weapons for him and Deion Lewis this year. Mm-hmm. The new scheme, I think, is going to benefit him greatly. Instead of playing with four tight ends on a field at once, he's going to be spread. He's going to do some things that he did in Oregon. He's going to get the ball out quick. He's going to run more. I'm excited for Marcus Mariota. Yeah. I think his rushing upside gives him an edge versus quarterbacks who are strictly pocket passers.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But, I mean, do you think he's going to pass as much as Goff?
No, I think he might just pass the run more game than Goff.
You do? Huh. That's where, I don't know.
In terms of attempts, I think he'll get close to 500 attempts. I'm not sure if Goff gets the 500 attempts. I'm not sure. But just how slow they played last year with how much they ran the ball with Gurley. Game, yeah,
and the defense.
And their defense. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they may get in really good situations to where he's, again, uber efficient. I just don't know, like I said, if the volume is going to be there. And then Tennessee's going to go from one of the slowest teams in the league to, I'm going to say, a more up-tempo team. I mean, Mariota's only had 450 attempts the last 2 years in that slow-ass system that they ran with Mularkey. I could easily see him getting close to 500 attempts in a more spread system. You know, really taking advantage of the speed that he has on the edges now, and really with a second year of Corey Davis, I could see him making a leap there in pass attempts and efficiency.
He needs to be where
he has to, for sure.
Of course, yeah,
for sure.
He had a shitty year last year. Let's be honest, he had a terrible year last year.
It was injured a lot, and a hamstring, like that definitely hampers him more than some other guys, for sure.
He was gross. Yeah.
I just wonder if they spread it out and run out of that spread more. You still got Derrick Henry, and you gave him a junk load of money to Deion Lewis. I mean, I know he's great in the passing game too, but I mean, even if you go back to Oregon, they spread it out and then run because you're spread out as a defense. And I'll take Derrick Henry one-on-one against one linebacker going through the hole because that's how they have him spread out. So I'm excited for what that offense could be. I'm going to pull back a little bit until I see that one.
Yeah, no, I think I'm definitely projecting what I think Mariota can be and what I want Mariota to be. If he gets there, then I look great. If not, then this is a really shitty ranking. I'll have to revisit it.
Yeah, I totally get it with this stuff. And that's all I'm doing on Kirk Cousins, changing teams and going to a different offense. So we pick our stance, guys. I get it.
Yeah, for sure. So let me just go through 7 through 10 real quick. I've got Jameis at 7. I got Jimmy Garoppolo at number 8. By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo dating porn stars in L.A. Like, come on, this guy.
Isn't that what you do out there, though? Like, God. That's what you should do, man.
I know. He's doing his thing.
With a bunch of money, man.
I think I'd want something a little fresher, to be honest with you. I don't know.
Maybe they're new porn stars. You don't know, dude. It's not like Stormy Daniels or something.
Hey.
No. Watch out.
But yeah, no, Jimmy's doing his thing out there. I think the sky's the limit for him. I got Kirk at number 9, and then my boy Andrew Luck at number 10. So I'm happy to defend Andrew Luck if anyone wants to come after him. So I know you guys have him a bit lower. I know two drinks got him 16. Swag, you have him at 19.
Yeah. And I don't think you need to defend yourself. No, go for it.
Go for it, two drinks.
I've had him at like 12, and every time I look back at the rankings, he slides down just a few spots. I almost feel bad at 16, but then you told me that porn story about Jimmy G, and Jimmy G is right in front of him, so I feel better. that's good analysis right there. I'll let Spikes jump in now.
I mean, my thing, I get Steve's ranking, actually, in the best case situation. I think that's where we want Luck, and next year he could definitely move up if he, you know what I mean? He by all means,
the upside's definitely
was
in, there.
He was drafted the same year as Kirk Cousins next to the guy that Cousins replaced. So by all means, right. Andrew Luck should be above Cousins, and that has nothing to do with our earlier argument. So Luck's talent is definitely there. I'm just so concerned that I know in my heart of hearts when I'm drafting, I'm skipping over Luck this year.
Yep.
So I know that, like, I can't – my head messes with my heart a lot, but in this situation, it's telling me to just kind of pass him by this year. So I kept, like, kind of doing it. I'm like, oh, man. And then Steve cracked on the Luck thing earlier in a chat we were all talking in, and I'm, like, getting my top 20 together for him, and I'm like, Jesus, am I going to – where is – when is Luck going to – come, and I'm like, whoa, at 19, like, wow, that is pretty low. But then I even, like, in my head and heart tried to move him up a little. I'm just like, no, I just, you know, for the age and everything, I'd rather just take some futures of the other guys, even if their ceiling isn't as high.
That's hilarious, dude. I was literally going on Google Docs as I watched you put your ranks in, and that's I was probably jumped in around like 13 or 14, I think. And I was like, oh, Andrew Luck's not there. And as you kept going, I was like, holy crap, is he even going to be in this 20 so we can talk about him?
Yeah.
So it's funny that you said it like that, because I literally watched you put it in and I was like, he's not going to do it. And he finally snuck him in there at 19.
Yeah, I'm happy you made your top 20. That makes me smile.
All right, Steve. I will defend T.Y. Hilton. Yeah, go ahead.
I will defend my boy. I just think he is – his upside is top five every single year as long as he's healthy. We've seen the highest of the highs to Andrew Luck so far in that 2014 season, 4,700 yards and 40 touchdowns. I don't think anyone else besides Aaron Rodgers can do that, or Tom Brady can do that right now in the league. I don't think anyone else has that upside. I know on the pace that Deshaun Watson was on, he would have been on that type of pace, but I don't think he can do that for a whole year. Sure. We've seen Andrew Luck do it for a whole year. Now, obviously, the biggest question is health, right? So if he comes back and he is not right and he is not able to hit guys like T.Y. Hilton down the field, then, again, this ranking is going to look really stupid. But with his vastly improved offensive line, don't forget, Ryan Kelly was hurt the entire year last year. They drafted the baddest man on the planet, Quentin Nelson, to play guard. I mean, he is a nasty, mean son of a bitch. Yep. And he is going to beat people up in the middle. Costanzo's not a bad tackle. Muhort on the other side's not bad at all. Their right tackle situation's kind of iffy. But, I mean, their offensive line is so much better if they are healthy this year. I like the stable of running backs they have. I think they're all going to have a role. Nyheim Hines is going to be a weapon out of the backfield. Marlon Mack, I'm not as high on, but he's got definitely some skills for, you know, stretch run plays. And then Jordan Wilkins, I think, can bang in the middle. Both tight ends, I think, are very useful with Doyle and Ebron. And we don't know what Ryan Grant is. Like, Ryan Grant could actually be a decent player. We're not sure yet. We saw snippets of him last year in Washington and actually had some pretty good success. So I think their weapons are actually a bit better than people are giving them credit for. And don't forget the rookies, right? I mean, Deion Kane might be a stud out of Clemson. You know, Clemson's known for their receivers. So we'll see who emerges there is really the number three. But yeah, I think the upside of Andrew Luck is just so much higher than a lot of the other guys that are lower on this list. And with his relatively young age, he is going to be 28 this year. He's still young enough for me that I can get maybe 6 or 7 years out of him. So that's my Andrew Luck love fest for tonight.
Upside, yeah. I get. I can totally get the upside. I'm not willing to pay for it like you are. I guess I've done
not this year.
I don't know.
It was kind of more than last year.
Yeah. I felt better about it last year, which kind of stung.
Oh, for sure. So
having to wait a whole nother year, I'm gonna have to see it. Probably I will miss out this year.
Happy
I'm gonna
to miss
have
out.
To see it before I pay out. Yeah. Yeah, and I get the numbers that he put up, but that's when I feel like most of the division was trash.
That's true too.
I think all the division has really upgraded, where Andy was top dog back then when he was doing that, and now they're arguably fourth, and I don't know that you can really argue that. So
no, you're right. You're definitely right. Their roster from top to bottom is pretty bad.
Nasty defenses they're gonna have to go against too. So Ryan Grant needs to be a stud, because I don't know. I'm fading TY too, even with luck there, I guess.
Okay. So True Drink, let's go 11-20. The rest of your big board right now.
The rest of my big board.
Oh, this will be fun.
Right?
Here we go.
So 11, we get Marcus Mariota. Just missed the top 10 behind Winston. Basically how they were drafted that year. Yeah,
you're not getting off this show without talking about Mahomes, by the way.
We'll get to Mahomes in a second. We'll get to Mahomes in a second.
Thought I sneaked past that
Don't
one.
Don't worry about that.
All right, so 12 is Brady. Yeah, we'll get to that. 13 is Drew Brees, so put those cats back to back. 14 is Prescott, which I feel not as great about right now. After Jimmy G and Porn Stars are at 15. Lux at 16. My boy Phillip Rivers is at 17. And Mitchell Trubisky, 18. I don't know why I say and there. 19 is Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben. And 20, Mr. Matt Ryan.
Nice. So I like a lot of that list. We're actually pretty similar, I think, in where we ranked a bunch of guys. But I really have no big issues with this ranking, besides obviously your Andrew Luck hate. But besides that, man, I like it a lot. Like, I like the fact that you have Brady and Breeze above guys like Dak Prescott. I like that win now type of thought process that you got Brady there. I've got no issue. I got none.
That's, you know, Brady and Breeze being at 12 and 13 is kind of because I feel like I've probably taken some stabs or some shots in the earlier part of that. So it feels a little safer to have those guys just a few spots back to know that, like you said, that's win now. Plus one of the guys up front, because I'm going to draft a couple of these guys up front. I'm probably not going to wait to the backside of this, you know, 20 list. I'm going to try to get three, you know, closer to that top 15 range. So I like mixing some of those guys there.
All right. So Swag, I'm going to take you to task in a second, but
yeah,
go ahead.
Mine are much different. So 11, I've got Jimmy G. 12, I've got Derek Carr. 13, your boy, Kirk Cousins. 14, I've got Matt Ryan. Then I've got Patrick Mahomes. Baker Mayfield at 16.
Oh, my God.
17, I've got Mitch Trubisky. 18, Drew Brees. 19, Andrew Luck. And I squeezed Brady in at 20. And I kind of wanted to get Phillip Rivers over Brady there, but I didn't.
So Swags is not going to win a championship in Dynasty for at least 3.5 years. Maybe 4.
Oh, well, 2-peat, 3-peat.
Going for it. No, so I think the biggest name here, because he's not on my list, or not on Two Drinks list, is Derek Carr. So I know you have him at 12. Win me over with Derek Carr at 12.
I think Cooper will be a lot better. I don't think he'll be so hobbled. He's got Gruden, new offense. I mean, then he's got, and I don't, man, it's hard to defend this, but man, he's got Jordy Nelson. Jared Cook, he's got plenty of targets. He's got places to put the ball. His age, I think he's 26 years old. I don't care about the 2 extra points on average that a stud quarterback is going to get me in fantasy football. And I'm fine, like, building a dynasty, because I think that's a key word to dynasty, is dynasty. And I'm not trying to win next year. I think that's like a crappy team move. And I'm not trying to be a crappy team. I'm trying to be a dynasty for years to come.
No, that's the thought process. I like the thought process. I do. If you said Martavis Bryant over Jordy Nelson, I would have given you extra bonus points on that one.
I'm worried about Bryant in the suspension, but no, that's a good point. He's the player I was trying to think of that was also there.
Jared Cook's.
I love the old guys when the losing teams start putting them on the block, and that's when I'm going to go get Big Ben and Brady, and then I'm going to put them on my teams, and I'm going to get them cheap like they should be, and they're going to help me win, and then I'm going to sell them off to the next team that wants to help a crappy team. That's how I feel about old people. I'm not even talking about your guys' teams, but that's kind of my mentality in a nutshell. I'm not trying to knock anybody real teams do in NFL and NBA. They get a old star player to come in and fix their problems for a year or two, and then they're back to square one. I don't want to be at square one.
Melo ain't helping nobody.
So let's talk real quick about Baker Mayfield at 16. Obviously, you're high on Baker. Do you think he takes over this year for Tyrod? And if so, when would that have to be to justify this ranking in your mind?
Oh man, well, that's a good question. It's tough to defend that one. I won't even lie, especially having him above Mitch, who's also young and right around Mahomes, who I think is sort of still a rookie to drink. But I think Baker Mayfield takes over halfway through the season, if not sometime next year. And I'm fine waiting for a talented young quarterback like that. At this point, I have solidified the position somewhere else, even if it isn't with a guy that you guys would, you know what I mean? But I'm getting Baker still towards the bottom, and I prefer him over some of these older guys. Mitch, I might move up a little bit.
Totally fair. Okay. I'll run down mine real quick. I'm a bit less of an ageist, as you guys are. So I've got some old dudes. 11, Tom Brady, 12, Drew Brees, Stafford at 13, Patrick Mahomes, 14, your boy Jared Goff, 15.
The Goff hater.
Goff hate. Philip Rivers, 16, Big Ben, 17, Trubisky at 18, Dak at 19, and then Matty Ice at number 20. So let's talk about one more guy that I think that we had some real differing opinions on, at least to start this year, Patrick Mahomes. So, Two Drink, you have a number 9 inside your top 10, and then Swag has him 15, I have him 14, respectively. So tell me why he's a top 10 quarterback in your mind.
The dude can chuck it, and his weapons might be better than everybody in front of him. Is that too hot to say? I love some Sammy, Tyreek. We get Kelsey. Hunt does great stuff out of the backfield. I don't believe that defense is very good. I think they've definitely sold that off. Obviously things can change year to year. Mahomes is so fun to watch on film, even going back to Texas Tech. I get this isn't that, and it's an Andy Reid offense. But when you have a talent like Patrick Mahomes is, and the weapons like he does, the roof is the ceiling, and that's not even the school he went to.
So what do you think, Swags?
He makes a lot of good points, but to me, he's still unproven in the NFL, so I have a hard time throwing him up that high.
Yeah, so I think my one question about that, I have it right this way too. I have Mahomes over Trubisky, which I think is a little interesting because we've seen Trubisky, I know, not be great, but at least have that 1 year under his belt. So I think that's an interesting – I mean, all three of us ranked it way, obviously.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, that could – with that logic, we should probably flip-flop that. But I agree with you, Two Drink, that he's got the weapons. He's got the arm talent. Just a matter of putting it all together. I think he definitely could be a top 10 dynasty quarterback next year for me. I just don't know if I can get there right now.
Yeah, I get him a little early on him. And the comparison to Trubisky and that he has at least that year, I totally get. But even coming out last year, I was not a huge fan of Trubisky coming into the NFL. And like Mahomes, a decent amount above him. I hope the new offensive scheme and all the weapons Chicago brought in works, because there's a lot there. But just just kind of going back to what I saw and years ago watching film on Mahomes, that's a guy that I want a piece of. I'm willing to go obviously a year earlier, a little bit earlier on him than you guys are to make sure I have him on my squad.
Yeah, man. Those are the takes that win you a fantasy title too. Like if you really like a guy, go get him. You know, spend that. If you're in a super flex and Mahomes, you can go get Mahomes for a first round draft pick. If you want him, go get him.
Oh yeah, all day. And he's probably going to cost a little bit more than that, even.
Right, it'll be probably like a one of the three, maybe one of the two if you have to. But it's a thing. Go ahead, you drink.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mahomes jumps closer to that top five consideration next year than he would be coming back from where I have him. So I guess that's why he sits, you know, in that top 10 right at 9 for me. Like, I feel it's easier for him to get to that top 5, top 6 spot next year than it would be for him to come back to maybe 15, closer to 20, you know, where you guys have him.
Yeah.
Or I guess, yeah, Swags has him at 15 and you have him at 14.
You guys both have at the same spot that just kind of surprises me more, even after listening to you talk about like youth and what some of these veterans can do, is you both have Matt Ryan at 20. And I don't really hate the spot as much, but then after listening to you guys, like, you've both got him kind of unproven guys.
For me, it's just he's, besides his one blow up year last year or 2016.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't really ever been anything special. Like, he had one other good year in 2012, and then he's just been like a low-end potential starter. Now, I think he's going to bounce back this year. I think he'll probably throw at least 25 touchdowns, not the 20 that he had last year. I just don't see him as that every-week starter that I'm really comfortable with. Like, yeah. I could see him being a second quarterback for a super flex or a two-quarterback league, but I'm not excited about Matt Ryan as my number one starter.
Mitch? You'd rather start Mitch?
I'd rather start Mitch with his rushing upside.
Yeah. Outside of that offense, working with those weapons, spreading it out.
Yeah, just curious. And I don't have him super high. I like Atlanta's defense
more than Chicago, too. So that kind of helps.
So let's knock out a super flex trade real quick. I know we only have a couple minutes left. I forgot tonight. We had
trades.
Yeah, one trade real quick.
Just the one.
One. So from at Dynasty Duos, a Superflex 24 teamer, two copies of each player. There's 10 starters per team. Kareem Hunt, Marcus Mariota, and Spencer Ware, or Juju, Russell Wilson, and John Stewart. Two drink. What side you picking?
I'm gonna take Russell Wilson and Juju. I leaned the Hunt side just for the running back there, but man, I love some Juju. I get maybe it's a little overhyped right now, but just the youth. Plus I'm getting Russell Wilson, my number two over Mariota, who you obviously heard I was all the way down to 11 at. I will take that difference over Russell Wilson compared to Mariota as I will over Juju and Hunt. I don't give a crap about Ware and Stew, to be honest.
Yep. Totally agree. Swag real quick.
I'm gonna take I'm gonna take that Hunt side. And it's all because of Hunt.
That's all right. I'm taking Russell Wilson. I think he's the best player in a Superflex league.
Yeah.
I think he's got the most value in Superflex. I love Mariota. Obviously I have him six right now, so it's not a huge difference, but Russell Wilson I think is super valuable in this format. Even with two copies of every player. I'll take Russell and run away with him and keep him for the next couple of years. Awesome. So that, yeah, man, we packed that shit stuff in that episode.
That, real quick, that actually had almost 400 votes.
Oh, nice.
56% actually on Swag side.
Really? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt. I like Kareem Hunt.
Man. I guess it's the Kareem Hunt and Ware, knowing that you kind of have that backfield, maybe over having, you know, the Juju and Jay Stew, where I think maybe most people just throw Jay Stew away with Barkley there. Having Ware makes you feel a little bit better about the Hunt side, or just people on that, you know, that team running back and kind of fading Juju a little bit. Steve, like I said, I'm with you getting the best player in the deal. I'll take, plus I get the Juju side, but just interesting there. Wanted to throw that out. So
I don't know for sure. If I agree with you though. I think obviously it might be Hunt might be the best player in that deal.
And Superflex, though? And Superflex? I mean, Russell Wilson round one, Superflex.
Round one and two, there's more of a chance of seeing Hunt go in that first 13 than Russell Wilson.
I've got Russell, my number five overall player.
Yeah.
I'll pull up some five drafts overall, that I've been in.
I've got Russ at eight. So, yeah. I'll take Russ way before I will Hunt in a super flex. Definitely in a two quarterback. I do want to ask both of you guys one thing, just real quick while we can. This was super flex. It's a 24 team, so that's really large. But it says double player copy. So do you take that as basically you just cut that 24 team in half? Is this just a 12-man league to you? Or does that play any difference in looking at this trade or in general?
No.
Does that make sense to you guys?
It just keeps it a 12-team league. It's kind of a 12-team mentality.
Yep. Okay. Totally agree.
Just making sure. We haven't done one of those trades yet with that mass size. I love getting into some different kind of league concepts and stuff like that. So I totally agree. I'm with you guys there, too. Just making sure we're all on the same page.
So yeah. I've got Hunt 13 and Russell Wilson 17. So that kind of explains my feelings.
Fair enough.
Totally fair. Well, awesome, guys. Really good show tonight. Again, thank you for listening, everybody out there. So subscribe, rate us, review us on iTunes. We're on Stitcher, Podbean, anywhere else you can find and download podcasts. Swags, where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm at @DFF_swag.
Do Drink, where can they find you?
At @FL2DrinkMinimum and at SuperflexPod.
Awesome. I am at TheRealHalupka and at SuperflexTrades, and we are out.
I love Jared Goff. Hate Andrew Luck.
You're not getting lucky.
Thanks for enjoying the Super Flexible Podcast at SuperflexPod, one of the many podcasts brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and Dynasty Football Factory, available anywhere you listen to podcasts. So go subscribe to the show and get every podcast as soon as it releases straight to your phone. While you're there, go ahead and rate and review the show. That helps the show out more than you know. It helps get all you Super Flexers the best content that you want to hear. On Twitter, follow the host, Steve, @TheRealHalupka, and the two co-hosts, Swag, @DFF_Swag, and TwoDrink, @FL2DrinkMinimum. But wait, there's more. Subscribe now and promise to tell a friend. We will throw in all the other podcasts on the DF Network for free. Be sure to check out
Dynasty Trade HQ, Dynasty Warzone, Daddy Watch, Pathology 101, the IEP Edge Crusher, Dynasty Football Fellas, and the Rookie Fever Podcast. Remember to tag @SuperflexPod and @SuperflexTrades for all your Superflex and two quarterback needs. Plus, GTFXEU. Use that promo code in all caps, Superflex, and get that $500 match. Do that now. Get fantasy ripped with the Super Flexible Podcast.